In yesterday's shiur, we discussed three different rayas that Rabbi Chanan brought to demonstrate that even when it comes to cases of dinei knasos, there is a pre-existing chiyuv. Beis Din will enforce the chiyuv, but they're not generating, creating the chiyuv through their psak din of Beis Din. One raya was from the Gemara tells us in Shvuas and Daf Lamed Gimel, from the case of a Shvuas Ha'edus, where the Gemara seems to assume that it's obvious that one would be chayiv a Shvuas Ha'edus in a case of knasos. And that we discussed at greater length. The question is, Rabbi Chanan writes very simply, why is that so obvious? If you're dealing with a case where there's a chiyuv mamon, and I go into Bez and I say, Ein ani yodei lo chayedus, I am denying that chiyuv mamon, I understand why one would be chayiv. But if when it comes to cases of dinei knasos, there is no chiyuv at all, one could argue that why exactly is that a davar pashut? Why is the Gemara bothered that why is it a chiddush to assume that mashbia edei knas indeed should be chayiv shvuas ha'edus? So that was one raya that Rabbi Chanan brought. The second was from our very perek, the case of tfisa, that the Gemara in Daf Tesvav writes that tfisa works when it comes to dinei knasos. That seems to be the simplest case. If there is a pre-existing chiyuv, and it's just simply a question of enforcement, then I understand. One could argue that if Beis Din cannot enforce, maybe we'll argue that you have a right of seizure. So, for example, when it comes to cases in Bavel, where we are not dan dine knasos, so maybe in some cases we will paskin the tafas, if the tovea will seize, lo mafkina mina, as the Gemara says, when it comes to chatzi nezek of a short time, if you assume that chatzi nezek is considered to be a knas. But if you will argue that there's no chiyuv whatsoever, so if in Bavel, without mumchim, we're not dan dinei knasos, how in the world could tfisa work? Why do you argue that I'm seizing something that I indeed am entitled to? So he pointed out that one could deflect that raya as well, because who says that that halacha of tfisa is mi'ikar hadin daraisa? Maybe that was all part of the takana. Maybe enochinami, me'ikar hadin daraisa tfisa would not work. We recognize the problem that we don't have a Beis Din of smuchim, and therefore the toveh is going to lose. So maybe in certain cases, we allow for the possibility of tfisa as a takana drabanan, but not me'ikar hadin daraisa. And indeed, that is a fundamental machlokas rishonim. The raya that Rabbi Chanan is putting forward is based on the Shita Sarash, that tfisas knas works, not as a takana drabanan, but rather me'ikar hadin daraisa. And if tfisa indeed would work, isn't that an indicator that there must be some chiyuv? Because if the nitva is not chayiv at all, why would we even allow that possibility of tfisa itself? And then the third raya we pointed out was from the Mishnayis in the very end of Maseches Shviyos and Perek Yud Mishnah Beis, where the Mishnah tells us, Ones, Mefata, Motzi Shemra, Knasos, are not canceled by the end of the Shemitah year. Those obligations survive Shviyos. So the Yerushalmi discusses why exactly is that true. You know, according to Avikai Veiger, the answer is very, very simple. You know, Shviyos will cancel an existing debt. Here, if the Chov is not as of yet in existence, why would one argue that Shemitah is going to cancel? How could that possibly be? If there is a pre-existing Chiyuv, yes, then that is subject to cancellation. So, you know, maybe one could argue the Mishnah is a clear raya to this chiddush of Rabbi Kveger, that knasos are not impacted by Sof HaShmita. The difficulty is that when you look in the Yerushalmi, as we discussed at length, the Yerushalmi says the only way to understand this Mishnah is with a super chiddush, and that is that Shmita only cancels loans, it doesn't cancel debts. It only cancels loans. So if money is owed, but it's not because of a loan, either because of onus, or mefata, or mosi shemra, or many other cases, no? Schirus, a salary, or credit, nothing to do with loans. Maybe one could argue, oh, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that shviyas does not cancel. So Rabbi Chanan pointed out, as we discussed, that why do you have to give such a sweeping teretz? I'll give you a very simple reason to understand the Mishnah, that Shviyas does not cancel Tashlume Knas because, as of yet, the Sof HaShmita, there is no Chiyuv of Knas. The Chiyuv only began in year 8. It didn't begin in year 7. So obviously it's a subject to cancellation. But what right do you have to leap and to argue that just as this is true when it comes to knossos, it's true when it comes to other cases as well? So the answer apparently is, we're not treating knossos any differently. There's a prior chiyuv. And therefore you have to understand this Mishnah in terms of the Yerushalmi. But then we did point out, if you look at the Rambam, right, the Pirush Mishnayis in the very end of Masechta Shviyos, the Rambam indeed understands this differently. The Rambam does not give the reason, maybe the Rambam a different gears than Yerushalmi, maybe the Rambam had a different understanding, a different reading of that Yerushalmi. But the Rambam writes, yes, it's a difference between Mammon as opposed to Knas. That's exactly what the Rambam writes. The Rambam, however, stresses a different element of distinction, which is also very, very fascinating. When it comes to Mammon, there the Rambam writes, the right that I have to collect Mammon is my right. That's the schus of the Toveya. The need to go ahead and to pay Knas, that is a chiyuv of the Nitva. Fascinating chiddush that the Rambam writes. When we spoke earlier in the Shir Klal about Tashlume Kapara, Tashlume Kapara is not driven by my right to collect. It's driven by his obligation to provide. No? He committed a chet. The Tzar went ahead and ate Truma. His Achilas Truma requires Kapara. It's true that payment is rendered to the Kohen. The Nasan the Kohen Es HaKodesh. But that's not the starting point. The starting point is the act of the guilty party requires tashlumin. So the Rambam writes something very fascinating, and that is, that's an essential difference in lamdus between mammon versus knas. When it comes to mammon, it's the skus of the toveya. The toveya. You caused me a hefsid mammon, I have a right to go ahead and to collect. When it comes to cases of knasas, it's not I have the right. You were Toveach, you were Mocher, Shana Bechet, you have an obligation of payment. And the payment is rendered to, well, the Toveach. But it comes from a very, very different perspective. And that fits in beautifully then with the Dinei Shemitah. Because when it comes to Dinei Shemitah, the Torah frames it as lo yigos. You're not allowed to press your claim. When it comes to Mammon, I am pressing my claim. I'm the driver. When it comes to Dinei Knasos, I'm pressing the claim. You violated an Avera. And the Torah says you have to make good. Part of your kapara is to go ahead and to render payment. That is not driven by the Toveya. You know, I'm just simply like a pawn, a tool, no? I am facilitating. I'm allowing you to receive that sense of kapara. That is not called Nagisa. And therefore, the Rambam writes, when it comes to cases of Dinei Knasos, then that's an important chiddush. So that's the chiddush of the Rambam Shita. One could argue as follows. You know why maybe Tfisa works when it comes to cases of Dinei Knasos? Precisely because of that point. Because if you're dealing with Dinei Knasos, there is not a willingness on my part to pay, but rather it is done as an onesh, bal korcho shel. And therefore one can understand a fundamental difference between a chiyuv, let's say, sedei shamayim, as opposed to cases of tfisa. We pointed out yesterday, when you look at the Rambam, Perak Beis, Halach Yud Beis, Afelchos Geneva, the Rambam writes the following chiddush, that whenever you have a case of safek mamon, we're going to apply the principle of hamotzi michavero, olav harayah. The Rambam goes a step further. Whenever you apply that principle of hamotzi michavero, tfisa works. Tfisa works. That's not at all pashut. That's a great chiddush of the Rambam Shita. That if bezin mopaskin hamotzi michav harayah, you, the toveh, have a right to be toveh. You have a right to be toveh. And guess what? If you're toveh, and someone takes you to bez, ooh, you were toveh, bezin's going to flip and say hamotzi michav harayah. No? You have to now prove it. The hamotzi michavero can switch hands, no? You're the mufsak, we'll turn to the toveh and say hamotzi michav harayah. You're toveh, and all of a sudden the nitva became the toveh. He goes to Bezin and says, look, this guy sees from him. You know what the answer is? Hamotzi michavero, olav harayah. That's pretty fascinating according to the Rambam Shita, no? That hamotzi michavero can kind of flip back and forth depending on who's the machzik, who's holding the chefetz. And tfisa would work. That's something which is pretty stunning. You know, we discussed in earlier shiurim that sometimes Beis Din will utilize a klal, a principle, to be machriya. What is that principle attempting to do? No, we discussed that at great length. No? Sometimes what Beis Din is doing is mevarer. Mevarer. Sometimes they're not being mevarer. Sometimes this is all midine niug. They're telling you, we don't know. So if we don't know, this is how you must be noheg. A fascinating issue. What is the motzi mechal avaraya? You have a din Torah. And Beis Din says, motzi mechal avaraya. Are they weighing in on this issue? How meaningful is that psak? Or maybe Beis Din is just saying, you know what? He's holding on to it. You're claiming. You failed to prove your case. So what do you want from us? No? Hamotzi mechal avaraya is not a birur in any shape or form. That the machzik is the one who possesses, but maybe it's just simply Beis Din's observation that you were unable to prove your case. No? You go to Beis Din and you say that the shirt that I'm wearing is yours. Beis Din will turn to you and say, prove it. You say, I can't prove it. So if you can't prove it, we don't know. Is Beis Din affirming that the shirt is mine? Beis Din has no clue whose shirt it is. No? They're just saying that you failed to go ahead and to prove. Right? That's an important, important issue. No? What is the motzi mechal avaraya? To what extent is it considered to be an act of birur? Beis Din passes the motzi mechal avaraya. This is yours. Right? This is yours. So I take those funds and I buy an Esther. Is that my midaraisa? We're fighting over lulav and Esther. Beis Din says, motzi mechal avaraya. You're the machzik. Does that mean I'm yotzei because it's lachem? Or will Beis Din turn to me and say, we have no idea who it belongs to. Just you came into court and said it's yours. You didn't prove your... Does it belong to the person who's holding it? We have no clue. So I have a document from Beis Din. I'm Otsi Merch Lavaraya. But does that necessarily mean that that surga is mine? No? It's a very important issue, no? Beis Din says this money is yours. I'm Otsi Merch Lavaraya. You're Mekadesh Nisha with it. Does it become Vaday Kedushin? Just because Beis Din said Hamotzi Merch Lavaraya? No? That's the Dion in the first piece in Kuntras HaSekas, in the very end of the Ktzos. Now, when Beis Din says Hamotzi Merch Lavaraya, are they weighing in on the facts? Or are they simply just saying, you know what, you failed to prove. And we're not going to disrupt the status quo if you fail to prove. So one very relevant marimakom is Rambam, Hilchos Gneiva, Beis Yebeis, where the Rambam writes, even when you paskin Hamotzi Merch Lavaraya, Tfisa works, Tfisa. And the Rambam now goes even a step further, not only in Mamon, Tfisa works when it comes to Knossos. Even when it comes to Knossos as well. So perhaps again that's an indicator that the Rambam maintains there's some chiyuv of Knas. And we can say Motzi Merch Lavaraya, because if there was no chiyuv without a psak din of Beis Din, and Beis Din is not going to pask in your chayyah because of Motzi Merch Lavaraya, guess what? You have no right. You have zero. That's the comment of the Ravid. The Ravid writes, if Beis Din will not pask in because it's a case of suffix, you have no right whatsoever to Tvisa. And how can the Rambam write the Tafas? Lo mafkin amina. So that's a very important, important chiddush. That machlok is the Rambam and the Ravid. Good. The very end of Shir, we started to discuss the chiddush of Or Sameach, a Rambam Hilchos Eidus, Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, Eidus Miuchenes, Eidus Miuchenes. What happens if you have two witnesses, they both witness an act, a crime, a halva, whatever the case is. But you know what? Each one is absolutely independent of the other. Good? This person is looking out of the window in this room, that person out of the window in that room. We both see the act, but we don't see each other. That's what we call Eidus Miuchedes. Eidus Miuchedes. So is that good or is that not good? So the Rambam writes, based on the Gemara, something striking. And that is sometimes yes, sometimes no. In Mamon, Eidus Miuchedes is good. In Nefashos, Eidus Miuchedes is no good. Is no good. Why exactly is that true? So, the Rosh Hashanah doesn't express it exactly in these terms, but what I thought was a fascinating diuk in the Pesukim. The Torah tells us, now, in Dvaram Yud Zayin, Dvaram Yud Tes, that two Eidim are necessary. Both when it comes to Dina Mamonos as well as Dina Nefashos, but the Torah expresses it differently. When it comes to Dina Mamonos, the Torah says Shnei Eidim, Shnei Eidim, Alpi Shnei Eidim. When it comes to Dina Nefashos, the Torah says Alpi Shnayim Eidim. What's the difference between Shnei and Shnayim? That I will tell you is fundamental. That's a fundamental. When the Torah describes Shnayim, Shnayim, when it comes to Tevas Noach, what does it mean that two by two, two animals, just not single file, double file? No, it means much more than that, no? It means a pair of identical animals, no? A pair of animals, no? It wasn't a lion and an elephant. It was two elephants. It was two lions. In other words, Shnayim means a pair. A pair. You wouldn't call a lion and elephant a pair of animals. But if they're two elephants, that's a pair. Shnei is two. Shnayim is a pair. And this, I will tell you, is an important hagdara. The Din HaMamlis requires two Eidim, but Din HaFashos requires a pair of Eidim. What's the difference between two and a pair? You know what the answer is? Eidus Miuchedes. Eidus Miuchedes. One and one is two. One eight here, one eight here. But one and one is not a pair. Right? That requires that they have to not only see the incident, but see each other. A pair of Eidim. That, I will tell you, is the Din D'Araisa of Eidus Miuchedes. Eidus Miuchedes. An important, important Chiddush. I'll tell you another Nafka Min D'Araisa. I asked you to take a look at the Rambam. Mechus Eidus. Beis Beis, Gimel Gimel. Let's say Eidim come forward. So we discussed, do that Tosus, Makos Taf, hey, Drisha V'Chakira. You have to like press these Eidim, interrogate these Eidim. Midaraisa, that's true for Din HaMamlis as well as Din HaFashos. You have to kind of press them, press them, press them. Good? So guess what? So Bezin says, where did this happen? They don't say, I don't know. You don't know? You don't know where? I say, when did this happen? Say, we're not sure. We're not sure. You don't know where and when. That's incomplete Eidus. Where and when is essential. Where and when is essential. You know? If you'll tell me you don't remember some strange detail, okay. You don't remember where, you don't remember when. That's incomplete Eidus. Incomplete Eidus. No? You know another way of saying this? Maybe what I'm saying is right, maybe what I'm saying is not fully right, but you know another way of saying this? That Eidus sha'ati yachal hazima. For Eidus to be good Eidus, you have to have the possibility of hazama, no? The Torah says, you have to put yourself on the line. Somebody has to be able to come and say imano ha'isim. You can't say imano ha'isim if you don't testify where and when. Where and when? Oh, I'll tell you, hazama is a rayu muchachas, that where and when is not just a isolated detail. But rather, the where and when is part of the gufo shel Eidus. If someone were to ask you, what is the thrust of Eidus? Well, obviously, the act. Reuven killed Shimon. If you don't testify, Reuven killed Shimon, that's not Eidus of Ratzicha. You have to say, we testify, Reuven killed Shimon. But more than that, where and when it happened is not secondary. Where and when is essential, Vaharaya, because without the where, if all you say is Reuven killed Shimon, there's no possibility of Hazama. Hazama is Imanu Ha'isim. Imanu Ha'isim means where and when. Oh, so that's the Chiddush. That where and when is tier one. That's essential. That's essential. No? That's important. No? In other words, maybe the halacha of Eidus Shati Achazima is just a function of what is complete and incomplete Eidus. Let's assume, for example, Bezin asks like a real detail. No? What color socks? What color was the guy's socks? Up until a couple years ago, the answer was simple. No? Not today. What color was the guy's socks? No? I didn't notice. No? That's not essential. That's not essential. No? If the guy says, I didn't notice, you're good. That's not Jewisha. That's called Bedika. That's called a Bedika. No? That's not essential. You say, I don't know. You're good to go. Nefashos, you're good to go. Using, let's say, my factor, you don't know what color socks. Yeah, but it's still Eidus Shati Yachal Hazima, no? Eidim can come still and contest the Eidus. They can still say, Imano Yisim. You don't have to know that. What happens in the following, though? Those Rambams, Beis Beis Gimel Gimel. The Eidim don't say, I didn't notice. They say, I did notice. No? And this guy says, like a paisley pink. And this guy says, an argyle blue. No? That's a problem. That's hachasha in bedikos. What's the story there? So the Rambam writes that hachoshe in bedikos is a nafgamina between dina mamonos and nefashos. That's a chiddush. In dina nefashos, no good. In dina mamonos, you're okay. You're okay. Interesting. Drishin chakira, indispensable. Bedikos, not necessary. Hachoshin bedikos, the Rambam splits. The Rambam splits. So how would you, so as a beer in the Rambam, I would suggest this yisod. This yisod. That hachash in bedikos is a problem of not sheker, not sheker. See, if hachash in bedikos is sheker, that the guy's lying through his teeth, then you can't allow a guy lying through his teeth when it comes to dina mamonos as well. It's not the dina fashos we need true edim. And in dina mamonos, you can get by with corrupt edim. So why is it going to come? The answer is, since this is just a small detail, you know, we don't consider you to be lying even if you misrepresent. Even if you misrepresent. You don't know where, you don't know when, you don't know what occurred. I understand, that's a problem. So if you say, this happened, he says, that happened, one of you is lying. Hachash and bedikos is not a chash of shek. You know, we understand sometimes when it comes to detail. You know, you'll remember a sugi, I'll say, what daf, what line. I may not remember. Now, I wouldn't call you a liar. Now, you don't always remember. One thing, though, is clear. If it's hachash and bedikos, you don't have a tziruf hakat. I can't combine A and B. If you're saying orange and I'm saying purple, there's no tziruf hakat. The edus is not interesting. Now the pasuk says, "Vine emes nachon hadavar." No, you know what the Rambam writes? It's like unbelievable. Ein ze nachon. You see that? Like you get the chills. No, like they're ein ze nachon. It's not that ein ze emes. Ein ze nachon. No, the pasuk says. Edus, when it comes to these cases, nefashos, has to be emes and nachon. Emes means it has to reflect the truth. Nachon means it has to be perfectly coherent, perfectly consistent. The Rambam writes, if you have hachoshen bedikos, ein ze nachon. It's like such a magnificent choice of words, no? Ein ze nachon. You can't say ein ze emes, because it's good when it comes to dinim amanos. Dinim amanos also doesn't require emes. In Zenachon, the Rambam writes. Now, the Emes Nachon Hadavar. Now, that's the Rambam's interpreting the Pasuk. That's like, that's something, no? Such a richness of language, no? That the Rambam writes that In Zenachon. I would argue, In Zenachon is Shnayim. In Zenachon is not Shnei. Right? As long as there's no Chash Meshaker, you can have one in one. But Tziru Fakat. To say these are two perfectly consistent eduyos, a pair of edus meaning that, you know, they're saying the exact same thing, that you can't say, even if there's hachash and bedikos. When two edim come forward, no, it's almost as if the edus is simultaneous. No, can't say that's true when it comes to the case of the nefashas, you know. You know, Mishnah Berurah writes, name of earlier Achronim, Magen Avos is like Eidus, right? So you have a really long Shemoneh Esrei, no? So someone else should say the Magen Avos with you, like Eidus, no? Now the Chazon Ish writes, right? Ein lahadar achar shnayim. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. No? That's not how you give Eidus. The peasant says, like, one, two, three, go, and everybody says the same thing, exactly at the same time. No? They all say the same thing. Like, Magen Avos, Adorah, Magen no? Eidus is always bezecher, right? In that fashion, no? So, but nachon means it's as though, you know? It's as though it's seamless. It's as though you can kind of, right, overlay one Eidus over the other. You can't do that when it comes to hachash and bedikos. So I would tell you that hachash and bedikos is related to Eidus Mechedes, related to the Hagdara of Shnei and Shnayim. Interesting possibility. Or Sameach Raish is the following Ha'ara. He doesn't give this whole, like, you know, Shnei and Shnayim. He just points out, it is mechedes. It's good when it comes to not when it comes to fashos. Why exactly is that true? Why? So he writes a fascinating chiddush. Because the edus in Mamanos is on the hischaivus, on the shibud. The edus in nefashos is on the act, on the maisa. When it comes to Dina Mamanos, I am made that Reuven owes Shimon $100. When it comes to Dina Fashos, I'm not made that Reuven is Chayiv Skila. I'm made that Reuven was Michal Shabbos. The Eidus is on the act. When it comes to Dina Mamanos, that's not true. So you know what? Even if you have Eidus Milchedes, it's seamless. You know why it's seamless? Because you have two people being made that Reuven owes Shimon $100. Maybe one could suggest even the Be'er Chiddush. One aide comes forward and says that Reuven broke Shimon's window, owes him $100. Another aide says that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon. You can join those when it comes to Dina Mamanos. Because you have two eidos that Reuven owes Shimon $100. The eidos is on the hischaivus. The eidos is not on the act. That certainly is not true when it comes to Dina Fashas. It's not enough to say that Reuven is chayiv misa. It doesn't make whether chayiv misa is because of avodah zarah, or whether it's because of arayos, or whether it's because of chilul Shabbos. Whatever does it make? No. The chayiv misa will be pronounced by Bezdin. You're made on the facts. That's why the Rosh Sameach writes that there's an essential difference between mamon and nefashos. In nefashos, the edus is what is going to generate a new chiyuv. In mamanos, the chiyuv is already a pre-existing one. Reuven already owes Shimon $100. And when the edim testify to that fact, they're just stating that which is self-evident, that which is already true. And the chiddush, the Rosh Sameach writes then, is that that's why Eidus Miyachedes works. They're both being made on Hischaivus. They didn't see the act together. Forget about seeing the act together. They're both being made that Reuven owes Shimon $100. Because that was an established fact. Mashenki, when it comes to cases of Dina Mamanos. Well, so the Sameach then writes a punchline. Hulafi Svaraseinu Shabiarnu. And based on this, Eidus Miyachedes should not be good when it comes to Dinei Knossos. Oh, that's the punch on the Rosh Sameach. Well, the Svis Varaseinu Shebiarnu, when it comes to Knossos, where Kol Zman Shalohi Ila Bebezden Lo Mechayev Klau, when it comes to Knossos, where, like Rabbi Kveger, there's no prior Chiyuv, there's no prior chiyuv. They're not being made on a shibud, but they're made on an act, and Bezdin will take that act and they will declare. So now Eidus Miyachedes is not going to be good. This is another way, another illustration. Wow, that Dinei Knossos is like Dinei Nefashos in that regard. And that, the Rosh Sameach writes, is the yesod, right, of Eidus Miyachedes. Wow. That's pretty fascinating. Now, the Rambam writes, Eidus Miyachedes is good when it comes to Mamon, not when it comes to Nefashos. What about when it comes to Dinei Knossos? So that's the Chiddush Rosh Sameach, that based on this Lamdus, I would say that, like the Gemara, Makos Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Echein Le'inyan Tashlamei Knas. The Knas should be like Nefashos in this regard. The role of the Edom, the role of Bezin is a radically different one. And if you're not being made on a prior hischaivus, but you're being made on the act of, then edus on the act has to be absolute cohesive edus, not edus miyachedes. Well, that's a fascinating chiddush. That boils down to the way the Rosh Sameach explains it, this issue. Is there a prior hischaivus when it comes to cases of Dinei Knossos? Pretty fascinating. You with me so far? Good. There's a Tosus and Ksuvus, to have Chav Tes Samar Aleph. Where Tosus raises a fascinating issue, which could be this very issue as well. Chav Tes Samar Aleph is the very beginning of the third parak of Ksuvus, Eilonamas. A person is guilty of ones, guilty of mafate, of a nara besula. So he's obligated to pay a knas of chamishim kesef, right? Onus or mafata. The opening Mishnah in Elonos discusses the following: the chiyuv tashlumin is because of a maisabia. What would happen if that maisabia was arayos? Well, let's assume this woman is an Eishes Ish. She's still a Basula, then Erison, but she's an Eishes Ish. Well, if he was Ma'aneser, he's Chayav Misa. So does he have to pay the Knasa of Chamishim? Of course not. Kimnei Ramine, no? And that's our Tosus and Ksuvus, Daf Lamed Gimel, just a few blot later. There wouldn't even be a Chiyuv Latzei Sidei Shamayim. Because Knas without Gemar Din, there's no Chiyuv Knas. Rabbi Kaveger's beer and Tosus. Good. What happens if it wasn't a Chiyuv Misa? Let's say it was a Chiyuv Kares. Pretty bad. Not Misa, though. Kares. A person was Ma'anes, Anara, Basula, but it was a chiyuv kares. Kares, the Mishnah says, we assume is not enough for kimnei d'rabbanan. That's machlokes tanaim. Rabbi Nechuni ben Hakana. But the chachayim assume kimnei d'rabbanan is misa in mama. Not kares in mama. No? You know, I could suggest that machlokus, whether kinder applies to kareis or not, is pretty fundamental. Maybe it sounds like a detail, right? Does it have to be really, really bad, like misa, or is really bad, like enough, no, to invoke a kinder applies kareis or not? Maybe I'll tell you, no, this is a real essential machlokus. You know, what is kinder rabbanei? If kinder rabbanei just simply means the following, although a person is chayiv on two counts, Bezdin is only going to enforce one. No? Well, then obviously it doesn't apply to Kares. No? You have to deal with two onshin that are Masuras LeBezdin. No? Misa's Bezdin. If this is all halacha in Bezdin, meeting out the onesh, well, of course it doesn't apply to Kares. Or, if you hold like Rabbi Chaim ben Hakana, that kinder rabbanei applies to kares, you see that this halacha of kinder rabbanei is not a halacha just in gvias bezdin. It's something much, much more fundamental, that the Torah doesn't create a chiyuv. Not that bezdin doesn't enforce. If it's based on the enforcement of bezdin, how in the world is it relevant to kares? So if you have machlokas, telling whether it applies to kares or not, the machlokas is not necessarily how bad is kares. Kares can be really bad. Kares can be bad enough that in principle, yes, but if it's only halachin onshe bezdin, then how does it apply? So the Mishnah, in the beginning of Elon Aris, Tafkav Tes, tells us, the Shita Sachachamim, Kim Nei Rabine applies to Misas Bezdin, not to a case of Kares. Okay, good. So what would an example of this be? So the Mishnah tells you an example. Eishesach. The Mishnah gives you an example. No? A person is guilty of onus mafate regarding his brother's wife. So since he was chayiv kares, what about the knas? The Mishnah says, he's chayiv knas. Because Eish HaSach is just kares, and there's no kim neder amene. Good. So Tosus asks the obvious dude, what's the case exactly? A person was Baal Eish HaSachiv. No? What, she's married to the guy's brother? If she's married to the guy's brother, that's Eish HaSish, no? And Eish HaSish is a Chiyav Misa. And there's Kimnei Ramine. You're not Chayav Knas. So what does the Mishnah mean to say that Eish HaSach? Oh, you'll tell me, the brother died. The brother died? And she's a Basula? Well, if there are no children, there's Ibum. So what's the case of a Chiyuv Knas? A Chiyuv Knas. So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. No, don't get so complicated. Let's say the case is Nisgarsha. Nisgarsha, no? A woman was married to a person's brother. They got divorced after Erusin. She's still a Basula. And now he was Manesin. So an Onis and Mefati is Chayev Chamish and Kesef. Okay? Sorry for this, so complicated. No, that's the case. That's the case, Yerushalmi says. But, oh, this case is a problem. Because if she was married, and she's a Mara, and then she's divorced, who gets the Knes? In a typical case of Onis and Mefati, the Knes goes to the father, right? But if this was a case that she's married and divorced, the knas goes to her, the Chachamim say. The knas goes to her. How can she get the knas in a case of nefate? Ones, I understand, he attacked her. But in mefate, it means that she was a willing participant. She went along with this whole thing. I understand, just because she went along with something, but the father would have screamed, no? So I have to pay the father a knas. She was a willing participant, but I wronged the father. But if the case is la'achar gerush, where the case is la'atzma, she gets the knas. What do you mean she gets the knas of mefaten? She was a willing participant. So I guess you just have to know the case to understand the kasha, no? So Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. This is a Raya Muchachas. Good, she was a willing participant. Therefore, obviously, she was willing. What's another word for willing? Right, she was Mocheles. Oh, Tosfos says, you see from here, that Knas is not Nitan L'Mechila, Kodem Gemar Din. Mocheles what? If Bezdin says, you have to pay him a knas, I can say I'm mochel. But you cannot be mochel achi of knas before Gemar Din. What are you being mochel? What are you being mochel? In achi of mamon, even if the payment was not exacted or wasn't enforced by Bezdin, there's a chi of mamon, a chi of tashlumin. That's nitan l'mechila. In knas, kodem gemar din, you cannot speak about mechila. That's what Tosfos writes according to the Yerushalmi. It's unbelievable that no? That there's no possibility when it comes to knas, right? Eina yechola limcho, Tosfos writes. No, ksuvah stav, chav tes samad aleph. You can't be mochel. Mechila is not just in principle, like in ethereal. You have to be mochel something, right? I have a kinyan, but something, schus, I can forego a right. Tosfos says there's no right when it comes to knasos. Because, the way Rabbi Kveg would explain this Tosfos, because before the Hamada Bedin and the Gemar Din, zero. Right, the fascinating issue. Right, this diun of Tosfos is knas nitan l'mechila kodem gemar din. The case is a little complicated now, but the conclusion is pretty astounding. That is an essential difference as well between knasos as opposed to cases of Dina Mamonos. Is something which is quite important. Yeah. Tosas even discusses in Meruba Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph whether Knas Kolon Gemar Din is Nitan LeYerusha. A person is Chayiv. He did something that would generate a Chiyuv Das to this person. Do we say that that's something which is Morish Labanov? Is that something that concretely the Yarshim possess? This is a fascinating deal. Now, in our cases, the difference is of mammon as opposed to cases of kenasos. We once mentioned, when we did the sugya of Beis Amud Aleph, that just a chiddush of Soloveitchik suggested, because we saw our Tosfos, that you know what? Even if you assume that onshin mamon min hadin and mamon, what about when it comes to knasas? Can one distinguish and argue in mamon, of course, onshin min hadin, but in knasas, ain't onshin min hadin? Tosos was bothered, no. That our Mishnah seems to say, yes, a kavachomer is operative. That's the whole Mishnah. A is not like B, B is not like A, but if it was, we could argue if A then B. But Tosu says, isn't there a mechilta when it comes to tvichu mechira? That ain't onshin min hadin. Is it so obvious what's true of mammon is true of cases of knasos? Maybe knasos is fundamentally different. Maybe knasos is an onish, as opposed to a straight chi of mammon is a civil payment. This isn't, the address is not criminal court. Maybe the address is civil court. And when it comes to Nina Knossos, there's that element of Onesh. We had discussed, when we did Dav Beis, the Gemara Nivamos, Navavim Beis, Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, right, the following Chiddush. We know that Avodas HaKarbanos, the Gemara says, is Doche Shabbos. Right? You bring Karbanos on Shabbos. We know that if a person committed a crime and he's Chayev Nisa, we will Mi'im Mizbechi Tikachen Olamos. No? We will snatch this guy, put him to death, even if it means that the Avod is not going to be performed. That's the Pasuk in Shmos Chavalev. Mi'im is so dramatic. Mi'im Mizbechi Tikachen Olamos. This guy is guilty of a crime, a capital offense, and he says, Bezdin, we're going to take him even as he's about to do the Avodah. Me'im mizbechi tikachen olamos. In other words, Ritzicha Mises Bezdin is Doch Avodah. Ooh, so the Gemara is a Kavachomer. If Avodah is Doch Shabbos and Ritzicha is Doch Avodah, so certainly Mises Bezdin should be Doch Shabbos. So if this guy is Chayav Misa, Bezdin should be able to put him to death on Shabbos, and we know that's not the case. We know that's not the case. Surprise? The Gemara answers, you're right, it's a Pasuk. When the Torah tells us, the Yisrael Chilo Shabbos, Lo Savaru Eish, the Pasuk says, B'chom of Shol Seichem. I don't care where you are. But what do you mean? You think what only applies in Eretz Yisrael? It only applies. What do you mean? The Gemara says, "Afilu b'Moshe Bezdin, Agzeras Hakasul." That Misas Bezdin is not Dolches. I could have had a Kavachomer to indicate that it's true. But no, B'chom Moshe Seichem Agzeras Hakasul. How do you understand this? I could have said yes. That Misas Bezdin is Doches HaShabbos, the Torah says no. Why does the Torah say no? So I'll tell you a very simple answer. No? Misas Bezdin involves malacha. Right? They're malachos. Taking a life is a malacha. Misas Bezdin involves malacha. I would have thought that it's mutter based on Kavachom, but the answer is it's aser. You know why it's Asa? It's Asa because of Malacha Shabbos. It's an Issa Malacha. It's Asa because of Malacha Shabbos. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding, it's not called Chilul Shabbos at all. Kal v'chomer. What do you mean? Avodah zoch Shabbos, Ritzicha zoch Avodah. Ritzicha zoch, it's not called Chilul Shabbos. So why is it Asar? You know what the answer is? B'chomo shoseichem is step three. It's a new Isser. Ein manishin b'Shabbos. Ein manishin b'Shabbos. That's a pretty critical issue. What's wrong with putting someone to death on Shabbos? Is it this new Isser? Or is it, no, putting someone to death is Chilul Shabbos, and Chilul Shabbos is Asar on Shabbos. So what's surprising is this, when you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Shin Chav Beis, the Rambam has a separate Isser. Beis Din is not allowed to punish on Shabbos. It's a separate Isser. Doesn't that seem to indicate the second way? It's not just that there's no heter, so you're back to square one of Chilul Shabbos. This is a new Isser. That's what the Rambam writes in Shin Chav Beis. That's what the Rambam writes in Perach Avdal of Hilchos Shabbos. And the Rambam adds in Perach Avdal of Chazayin of Hilchos Shabbos, V'hu hadin l'shar onshin. This would apply to other onshin. Sounds like from the Rambam, even onshin that don't involve Chilul Shabbos. Don't involve Chilul Shabbos. It's a separate Isser of Ein Ma'anishin b'Shabbos. Bezdin, you're not allowed to punish on Shabbos. Not because the punishment involves Chilul Shabbos. I could have gotten around that with the Kal v'chomer. It's a new Oseh. A new Oseh. That's pretty fascinating in the Rambam, no? Rav Soloveitchik pointed this out, that you see according to the Rambam, the prohibition of meeting out an onesh on Shabbos is not because of the Malacha Shabbat. V'haraya, the Rambam has a separate Isser. Number two is the Rambam writes, Hu hadin l'shar onshin. So Rav Soloveitchik was explaining this chiddush within the Rambam Shita. He pointed out the following. If Beis Din were to paskin and enforce the fact that you have to pay back a loan to someone on Shabbos, that would be wrong. But that would not be the Issa Darais of Ein Manishin b'Shabbos. No, it could be an Issa Darabanan. Ein Danin b'Shabbos. But if Beis Din were to render Dine Knossos on Shabbos, that would be an Issa Darais. Because the Tashlumei Knash is B'toras Onesh. An Onesh, not a right of the Toveya, the Onesh incumbent upon the Nitva. And exacting that Chiyuv on Shabbos would not just simply be a Gzeirah Drabanan, that, you know, this isn't a Shabbosdik thing to do, but maybe more than that. Maybe that's the Sedaraisa. The Sedaraisa in that particular case. It's an important, important chiddush. Now, these are the differences between, right, Mamon as opposed to Knossos. I'll tell you, Chaz of these Marmakomos. Now, this and last week, three different modes of Tashlumin. Mamon, Knas, Kapara, with all the differences, Daraisa, and every other Masechta. You'll come across these differences. That's important to know. Important to know those different types of definitions and Hagdamas. We discussed at an earlier shiurim the basis of chiyuv tashlumei hezek. Why is it that I'm responsible if I cause hezek, if my animal causes hezek? What is the relationship, right, between mamoncha and shmirasan alecha, two girsos? In the Mishnah, the Gemara that we had on Daf Gimel, and this will be very relevant for the coming sugya of Shemayak Niteno Rabba. Just to begin, the Gemara tells us on Daf Dalet as follows, that what exactly is the meaning of Shor? the meaning of mave, machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yehuda suggests the following, that according to Shmuel, shor is keren. Mave is shem. So when the Mishnah says that they are distinct, lori ha-keren, kri ha-shem, keren is ein hana lezeko, our Gemara says. Ein hana lezeko. And in shein, yesh hana lezeko. Unusual, no? The Gemara seems to say that yesh hana lezeko is a basis of ptur. If I only knew keren, I wouldn't know shein, because shein yesh hana lezeko. So Tosus immediately tells us that if it was ein hana lezeko, then you were not negligent. You are not deficient in your shmira sabahema. If it's yeshana lezeka, yeshana lezeka, what would happen in that case? When do you argue it's pshia? When do you argue it's onus? No? Tosa says that's the guiding factor. If it's ein hana lezeka, the animal was not doing so, that means you really didn't watch him at all. Maybe that's called pshia. If yeshana lezeka, maybe it's like an onus, because the animal was so determined, there's little you could do. No. The Gemara says, Lori Hashem, that in Kavanos Lahazik, Kriya Keren Sha Kavanos Lahazik. And the Gemara continues and says, and Vilav Kavachomer, Shein is in Kavanos Lahazik, and your Chayiv. So keren, which is kavanah salahazik, of course you should be chayim. Kavanah salahazik is a reason for chiyuv. Is a reason for chiyuv. If something is deliberate, it's obvious that you're chayim. No? So that's what now the Gemara questions. Is that really true? If it's kavanah salahazik, I am obviously chayim. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What about a case of an eved or an amah? No? They go ahead and cause damage deliberately. That clearly is kavanas lahazik. But I, the Adon, am pater. So you see, the fact that the damage was deliberate is not a reason to obligate the owner. Vaharaya, Eved and Amma, kavanas lahazik, vafil hachaptire. So Rashi says, no. Eved va'amma is different. Because Tamar Avisve, it makes perfect sense to exonerate the Adon in the case where his Eved does damage. Because of Shemiyak Nitena Rabba. Because maybe the Adon will do something that will anger the Eved, and all of a sudden, out of a sense of revenge, the Eved's going to wreak havoc. And I, the Adon, are going to be responsible for everything that he does. So nimtzezem achayves rabba me'aman b'choyal in the davar sof. So in the case of eved va'ama, there is a great reason to assume that I should be exempt, and that reason does not apply to a shor. That's the Gemara, a very great chiddush. So bottom line, eved va'ama, certainly the damage is deliberate. Nonetheless, the adon is considered to be potter because of shemiyak niten rabba. What exactly does that mean? No. Bottom line, I understand. Bottom line, you're exempt. One very basic question. What was the basis that you should have been chayav? Why would you have been chayav? Shemiyak Nitena Rabba means that you're potter. But what was the starting point? If not for this concern, I should indeed be chayiv. And a fundamental question, is this Shemiyak Nitena Rabba din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? Do you really understand the Gemara in these two stages? The starting point, Mi'ikar Hadin, is of course you should be chayiv. Mi d'oraisa you're chayiv. But because of concerns of like Tikkun HaOlam, you know, it can be absurd. No. Mechayiv mana b'chol yom. So maybe midrabanan as a takanas chachamim, your potter? Is that what the Gemara means? Midaraisa, it's obvious, the starting point is that you should have been chayiv for your eved who does damage? And it's only a din derabanan that you're exempt? Or is the Gemara saying something very, very differently? Maybe this is a din deraisa. Maybe this is considered to be a din deraisa. If you look in the Meiri in our sugya, the Meiri is explicit. Explicit. That the din deraisa is you should be chayim. Why should you have been chayim? What do you mean the Meiri says? No. Mamon chosh mirastan alecha. No. That beis amralat, that gimel beis. Mamon chosh mirastan alecha. Isn't that true when it comes to an evit? The evit knani is mamoncha u'shmirastan alecha. And therefore you should have been chayim. Well, you know, maybe one could discuss, distinguish. When I cause the maisa hezek, me, I'm chayiv because of the maisa hezek. The maisa hezek. Adam u'dolam. When I am not doing the hezek is done al yidei cherim, al yidei shor. Then it's a function, as Tosu said, of a chiv shmira. Maybe such a chiddush here as well. That the chiv shmira is not only for mamon hamazik, in the sense of an animal, but even for an eved hamazik. Maybe one would have been a chayiv. And shemiyat niten rabba is just a takana derabbana mishum tikkun olam. Hefker bez nefker. That's what Meir writes. V'dover ze takanas chachamim. If you look in Shita Mekubetzes, how is it? Wow. Shigretz writes the name of Tosfos Shantz as follows. When the Torah describes Adam Hamazik, the Torah says, Makeh behemi yashamenu. When you go ahead and damage, then you're chayim. What would the makar be to say that you're chayim if your evidence does damage? What's the source? Adam Hamazik means Makeh behemi yashamenu. I'm chayiv for the maisa hezek. The maisa hezek. Other cases, we're not chayiv for the maisa hezek. Okay, yeah, you know, we discussed psukim to tell us that you're chayiv. There's a pasuk that you're chayiv for sure. There's a pasuk that says you're chayiv for bor. Where is there a pasuk that says you're chayiv for eved? Where does the pasuk suggest that you're chayiv for that which your eved does? And Eved is not a shor, and Eved is not a boar, it's not an ash. Adam is maka Adam Yishmaka ben Yashamana of the Adam Azik. And therefore, midaraisi you're not chayim. There's no basis of chiyu. Midaraisi you're not chayim. Maybe I'll ask you the following. Why? Why in the world should that be? Why does the Torah say that I am chayiv if my shor does damage, but there's no model that I'm chayiv if my Eved does damage? You know what the answer might be? There's a very good reason for that. You know what the time of the cry is? Shemiyak nitana rabba. That's not a takana drabanan. Maybe that's time of the krami daraisa. That's not what? Yupater. Why? Why is that true? Why didn't the Torah create such a chiyu? The Torah didn't create such a chiyu because of Shemiyak nitana rabba. So the Torah never posited a chiyu. A pretty funny malachlokas rishonim. Is this a din daraisa? Or is this considered to be a din darabanan? Right. So if you haven't yet, take a look at the Mar Makomos. Right, the source of this is a Mishnah, right, in Meseches Yadayim. The very end of Meseches Yadayim. There's a very important Mishnah Achrona, right, that discusses this. And then we've often discussed, right, that Limud HaRambam is not just simply what the Rambam says, right? Chut HaMashulash, Simen Yud, where the Rambam says it. Now, the Rambam places the Salach of Shemiyak Tzana Rambam in Perak Aleph of Hilchos Gemara. No. Take a look at that. This is a chiddush of Reb Chaim. Not here, though. Reb Chaim is in Hilchos Gzeila. No? So take a look. Now, if you haven't yet, you have to go through that piece in Reb Chaim. Magnificent deal in terms of understanding this Rambam.